Welcome back to our Psalms of History series. We are looking at Psalms written by David that correspond to passages that we've been studying on Sunday morning. Currently, we are in 2 Samuel, and we are looking at a period of David's life that, well, frankly, is forgettable. In fact, like, we don't really teach on this section of his life very much. You don't hear too many commentaries addressing this period all that often. This period, the first four chapters, really initiate with the death of Saul. But then you've got this like two-year flux thing that's going on where you've got Abner, who was Saul's general, enthroning Ishbosheth, one of Saul's surviving sons. The 10 northern tribes of Israel, kind of rally around Ishbosheth. So they follow him. They adopt him as being king. And then David, who comes back from the land of the Philistines, comes back from Ziklag, comes to Judah, comes to Hebron in Judah, and the elders of Judah come and enthrone David. So the first four chapters of 2 Samuel, yes, Saul is dead, but David's not quite fully king. Now, there's some big things that have happened in his heart. David has come to this point of repentance. He's come to this acknowledgement that for the last couple years, while he's been on the run, he hasn't been handling himself as God would want. He's been making some terrible decisions. He's been leading his men astray. Good grief. The man's been residing with the Philistines, aligning himself with the Philistine kings. And yet here David, at this low point, crying back out to the Lord, receiving news of the death of Saul and Jonathan, comes back to the land. The elders of Judah put him on the throne. They make him their king. So we have these four chapters where Ishbosheth is king of a bunch of tribes with Abner as his general. And you have David, who is now back home in Judah, residing in Hebron and being their king. So again, very weird season of life, but there's a lot of things going on in David's heart. David's at peace. David is not rushing the plan of God. David is not going out trying to impose his will over these other tribes that have rallied around Ishbosheth. David is really just sitting back and he's letting the Lord work. He's trusting that God's will happen and God's perfect timing. David is not trying to take the throne. He's waiting for God to bring his will along. And so during this period of time, I think that there's a couple psalms that we can look at. We're only going to look at one in this particular episode that give us some insight into just the peace that David had, his trust, his reliance on the Lord. Notably, we have Psalm 18. Psalm 18 is one of the longest psalms in the entire book. It's lengthy. I believe it's about 50 verses in totality, which is why we're only going to kind of tackle it with only doing one psalm. But I think this will give you some insight. Again, the whole idea of the Psalms of History series is to try to give us a glimpse into what's going on emotionally, spiritually within David during these periods of time that we've been looking at on Sunday morning. So let's just dive in. There's quite a heavy introduction. It's titled Psalms 18, God the Sovereign Savior. It reads to the chief musician, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, so we don't have to question or debate who the author is, who spoke to the Lord the words of this song on the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all of his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And he said, and here's the psalm, this expression of his heart to the Lord. He says, I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. I love that opening line. I will love you, O Lord, my strength. David coming off of this situation where the Amalekites had attacked Ziklag and had taken all the women and children and stuff, and David's men are about to turn on him. You know, over from that point, over the next week, David's whole life changes. He goes from, in one instance, almost now being the outcast of his group of outcasts, to the presumptive next king of Israel, dealing with the grief of losing a brother in Jonathan and a friend. David did never viewed Saul as his enemy, but he says, "I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock. He's my fortress." He's coming back to the stability he finds in God. He acknowledges, verse 4, "The pangs of death surround me. The floods of ungodliness made me afraid. The sorrow of Sheol surround me, and the snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried out to my God, and he heard my voice from his temple. And my cry came before him, even to his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations of the hills also quaked and were shaken because he was angry. Smoke went up from his nostrils and devouring fire from his mouth. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down with darkness under his feet." Just the might, the power of God on display. "And he rode upon the cherub and flew. He flew upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place, his canopy. Around him was dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. From the brightness before him, his thick clouds passed with hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered his voice. Hailstones and coals of fire. He sent out his arrows and scattered the foe, lightnings in abundance, and he vanquished them. Then the channels of the sea were seen. The foundations of the world were uncovered. At your rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of your nostrils." Again, the Lord's his strength, his stronghold. Why? Because God's very powerful. Just describing the might, the authority, the prowess of the Most High. He sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy, from those who hated me. For they were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my support. He also brought me up out of the broad place and delivered me because he delighted in me. I like that. He delivered me. Why? Because he delighted in me. It wasn't that David had done anything noteworthy or deserving. It's that the Lord acted because he loves, because he cares, because he delights. It's that unmerited favor. It's the grace of God. "The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands, he has recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me, and I did not put away his statutes from me. I was also blameless before him, and I kept myself from my iniquity. Therefore the Lord has recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his sight. With the merciful, you will show yourself merciful. With a blameless man, you will show yourself blameless. With the pure, you will show yourself pure. With the devious, you will show yourself shrewd. For you will save the humble people, but will bring down haughty fools." Reminds me of the passage in the New Testament that God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. "For you will save the humble people." Humility, having that right perspective of oneself. But you'll bring down the haughty looks. And why does God resist the proud? Because he's wanting to bring the proud into that place of humility. Verse 28. "For you will light my lamp. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. For by you I can run against a troop. But my God, I can leap over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in him." You should underline, highlight that passage. I'll read it again. "As for God, his way is perfect." God's way is always perfect. It might not be what you want, But it's always perfect. Why? Because God is holy. God is perfect. God is all-knowing. And the word of the Lord, well, it's proven. It's sure. It's trustworthy. For who is God except the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer and sets me on my high places. He teaches my hands to make war so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. You have also given me the shield of your salvation. Your right hand has held me up. Your gentleness has made me great. You enlarged my path under me so my feet did not slip. I have pursued my enemies and overtaken them. Neither did I turn back again till they were all destroyed. I have wounded them so that they could not rise. They have fallen under my feet. For you have armed me with your strength for battle. You have subdued me under those who rose up against me. You have also given me the necks of my enemies so that I destroy those who hated me. They cried out, but there was none to save, even to the Lord. But he did not answer them. Then I beat them as fine as the dust before the wind. I cast them out like dirt in the streets. You have delivered me from the strivings of the people. You have made me the head of the nations. A people I have not known shall serve me. As soon as they hear of me, they obey me. The foreigners submit to me. The foreigners fade away and come frightened from the hideouts. God's exalting of David to this position of power and authority within the kingdom. Verse 46, the Lord lives. The Lord lives. Blessed be my rock. Let the God of my salvation be exalted. It is God who avenges me and subdues the people under me. David didn't have to act. David could sit back. He could trust in the Lord. God's word was proven. It was sure. He could trust. God would protect him. God would exalt him in due time. God would avenge him. He delivers me from my enemies. You also lift me up above those who rise against me. You have delivered me from the violent man. Therefore, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the Gentiles, and sing praises to your name. And then he closes out verse 50, this incredible song. It says, great deliverance he gives to his king and shows mercy to his anointed, to David and his descendants forevermore. David had had quite a roller coaster of the last 8, 9, 10 years. And yet here he is back into the land. He's been accepted, been enthroned by his kinfolk. But he trusts that God would work all these things out. Ishbosheth and Abner, God had a plan, and God's timing is always perfect. Do you believe that? Do you trust that? That God's timing, it's not just his will that's perfect, but his timing and enacting that will is equally perfect. The word of the Lord is sure. If you enjoy this particular psalm, check out our website, calvary316.tv/histories. You can find this little video along with all the other psalms that correspond with our Harmony of the History series. God bless.